last week, and that was regarding the question of a candle. You'll remember that we discussed the permissibility to carry a candle. Hold on one second. We had the permissibility of carrying a candle. So we said that this was a big discussion because a candle for sure is a problem, and carrying the entire contraption, all the paraphernalia of the candle, is going to be a problem because it was muksa on Erev Shabbos, and therefore it continues to be muksa even after the candle goes out. The poskim discussed, if you remember, the poskim discussed, does this carry over to electric lights? And Rav Moshe, Rav Shlomo Zalman, they were all willing to say that theoretically it should be different, but they both were advocating being machmir lemaisa, that treating a light, an electric light, or maybe even heating appliances, not as something which is a klish malachdu le'isser, but to look at it instead as something which is muksa machmas gufo. It's like a candle, and it's something which is completely muksa, right? We've been talking about this already for a few weeks, that a klish malachdu le'isser is a lower level of muksa. When I say lower level, I mean less machmir form of muksa. But a candle is pure, pure muksa, and therefore has very little, basically no heter to move it. Klishim lach l'isser, you can move litzorech mikomo, litzorech gufo, but a candle, which is muksa machmas isser, muksa machmas atzmo, so it's going to be something that machmas gufo is going to be something which cannot be moved at all. So that is the discussion regarding electric lights. So I said that we were going to just follow up with the discussion about the Shabbos lamps. So allow me to share my screen for a second. I'm going to show you a very quick video here about the Shabbos lamps, and we'll take a few minutes just analyzing what the story is with them. So give me one second here. Okay, hold on. I'm going to share my screen. I know sometimes these share screen situations, it plays with a lag, and I'm trying to close all my other windows here, and hopefully we'll be able to play at a decent speed. Okay, let's pull it up on the screen. Can I get a thumbs up? Do you see this on the screen? Okay, very good. Thank you, Yaakov. Tell me if you can hear also, Yaakov. Give me a thumbs up once I start playing it. Are you able to hear? No audio coming through? I paused it. There was no audio. Okay. This happened before once. How do we deal with the audio? Let me try to stop the share and restart it again. Anyone hear audio? Yes, no audio? So music in the background? No. Okay. So I don't mind, anyway, it's just Jewish music in the background. So I can, this is one type of Shabbos lamp. I'm sure some of you are familiar with this. Okay, we've got the lamp towards the bottom. You're able to hear me, right? Okay, we've got the lamp at the bottom, and then we have this contraption on top, which is a separate piece, which you move back and forth and serves to cover the lighting implement. Okay, now we've got the second thing. Okay, there's the Shabbos bulb. He said there are two types of people on Shabbos, those who can't see and those who can. Okay, he's trying to block the light apparently here. So as you see, you slide it. It doesn't turn off the light, as we spoke about last week. When you slide it, little covers cover over the LED lights that are inside. And it dims, right, depending on how much you close the light bulbs. Okay, that's the second form. And now here's the third one, the Shab LED. So what is this? So here we have a guy who's sitting here and learning. He has a little drawer that he picks up out. And when the drawer is opened, so the light is blocked when he closes it, blocks the LEDs. When he opens it, the LEDs are exposed. And this, he says, is the new Shabbos light. This is, he says, the reason this was designed is because the other Shabbos lights have muksa problems on Shabbos. And therefore, this was created in order to avoid the problems of muksa of the other Shabbos lights. You can bring it with you. Okay, so that is the different types of Shabbos lamps. So just a very quick analysis of them, and then we're going to move on. So the first one is called the kosher lamp, and that is the one that has the adjustable cover that goes over the actual lamp. Now this one, Rav Shlomo Miller, who's the posek from Canada, from Toronto, I believe, so he writes that the body of the lamp, meaning the actual lamp itself, he says is muksa. Why? Because he's being machmir for Rav Yashiv, for the Chelkas Yaakov that we mentioned last week. He's being machmir for Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman, what they say that they advise a person to try to be machmir for, which is that we treat an electric lamp like a candle, and therefore it's muksa. So he says that the body of the Shabbos lamp is muksa. However, the upper portion of the lamp, which is that cylinder that you put over that blocks the light, that's a separate entity. And he says that's a kli heter. That's a permitted kli whose purpose is to shade the light. Now, part of this is based on, if you look in the Makoro sheets I gave you, so in source 45, we quote from Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. And in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, he talks about a lampshade. And what he says about a lampshade is that a regular lampshade is butyl to the lamp, and therefore it's muksa. Remember, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa is machmir on the issue of lamps. He says we treat a lamp like a candle, and therefore a lamp cannot be moved, right? I have this lamp over here with an retractable arm that goes up and down. So Shlomo Zalman would say that that's muksa. You can't move this lamp because, again, he says, Me'ikra Dini thinks it's probably okay, but his psak is to treat it like a candle. So the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says that the lamp shade is butyl to the lamp. It's part of the lamp. So just like the base under it is a busis for the candle, the lamp shade, even though the lamp doesn't rest on the lamp shade, but it's butyl to the rest of the lamp, it's considered part of the lamp, and therefore it's muksa as being part of the quote-unquote candle. But, he writes in the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, that if the lampshade is built in a way that the purpose of it is to open or close or to block the light of the lamp, so then you're allowed to move that. We look at that as a separate entity because it's not only there to be a lampshade for the lamp, right? I guess the purpose of a lampshade is you don't have to stare right at the bulb. Maybe it also directs the light down. But a lampshade, which is built in order to open and close, so the purpose of that is to serve as a separate kli. It has its own purpose. And therefore, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa writes that a lampshade would be okay. So using that type of lampshade, so using that logic, the kosher lamp, the assumption is that that piece on top is a separate kli. And in fact, as you saw in the video, or anyone who has one at home can check, that entire top of the cylinder comes off. So it really is its own separate kli. And when I turn it, so it just blocks the light. And therefore he writes, Rav Shlomo Miller in his Hechsher for the kosher lamp. So he writes that you can move the top and that's certainly fine to do, but you should be careful not to move the actual lamp itself because the lamp itself is muksa, meaning the base piece. So therefore he says you could flip the top in order to block the light, but you shouldn't move the actual lamp itself. And again, this is because he's being machmir to treat the lamp like a candle. Is that clear? Okay. When we move on to the next, to the Shabbos.
Does anyone know that's also those lamps?
So I think that most people assume that that's okay. But we'll get there in a second, because as I told you, the last of these lamps, so they write in their advertisement that you saw that they built it because there are problems with the other ones. So we'll see in a minute what they think the problem is with the kosher lamp. So that's the kosher lamp. We then have the Shabbos bulb. Now, the Shabbos bulb, the switch is built into the bulb, and it's not its own separate entity. So the OU still approved it, and they thought that the fact, I guess the svara being, that the fact that it was designed to function, to cover the light, so even though it's not its own kli, see, that's the difference between the Shabbos bulb and the kosher lamp. The Shabbos bulb, the second thing that we saw, so that it's not a separate unit. It's not a separate entity that you put on top. It's actually built into the same object itself. It's built into the bulb. So therefore, there's a little bit, it's a little harder to argue that it's an entirely separate kli if it's built into the bulb. On the other hand, that little lever is certainly designed to block and unblock the light. So is it really muksa? I understand I can't move the light bulb, but is it muksa to move that little lever that I move back and forth in order to block the light? You could certainly make the argument, and I imagine that's what the OU, the argument that they're using, you can make the argument that that lever was designed for this purpose, and therefore how can you call it muksa? That's my intent before Shabbos, is that I'm going to use it for that purpose. I'm going to move that little thing back and forth. It doesn't do any malacha, it just blocks the light. So that's the Shabbos bulb. The last one is this Shabbos LED, the Shabbos lid, or whatever, however they pronounce it. And that's that gentleman who was sitting there with the box. So now, again, they write that they designed this because there are problems with all the other ones. All the other Shabbos lamps on the market, they say, have some type of problem. So what's better about their creation here? So the Rav HaMachshir, his name is Rav Aaron Goldminzer. So he was interviewed about this Shabbos lamp that they designed. And he says that all of the other issues, the other objects, these other contraptions on the market, so some think that they're muksa because they're considered part of the lamp. You know, the svar that we've been saying that they're a separate kli, certainly with the first thing that we saw, the kosher lamp. So it seems pretty clear that it's its own separate kli. But he wanted to maintain that, no, there, maybe it's really, I mean, the whole purpose of it is to function for the lamp. It's considered part of the kli and it's a problem. However, this object, since it's an actual drawer and it functions as a drawer, and that's why you see in the advertisements, they have like little nuts or candies in the drawer. So therefore, since you're using it as a drawer as well, so for sure it's its own kli. It just happens to be that when you close the drawer, it blocks the light. It's like, imagine you have a light coming into your room from the hallway. So you close the door of your room and that happens to block the light. But clearly the door of your room is a separate kli. It's not part of the light bulb in the hallway. So this Rav HaMachshir of the object of this third product, he wants to say, listen, by the other ones, I don't know, is it really considered its own kli? It's clearly part of the lamp. But here, it's a drawer. And indeed, they encourage you in their instructions to put something in the drawer before Shabbos. So therefore, it really will function as its own kli and not part of the lamp. And it, in fact, even more than that, you realize that once the drawer is filled, I believe the drawer charges, so it's not even plugged into the wall. If you fill the drawer with some non-muksa item like candies, so then you should really be able to move the entire light around because it's a kli for holding candies. So you can move it into another room and then open the drawer to take out your candies, and that happens to illuminate the room. And when you want, you close the door and it stops illuminating the room. So Rav Eliyahu Goldberg told me that he called Rav Moshe Heinemann, who's the head Rav HaMachshir of the Star K in Baltimore, and he gave the hechsher for that last, he also gave a hechsher for that last product, the Shabbos LED. And when Rav Eliyahu called him and asked him, so is this really better than the kosher lamp, the first product that we saw? So his response was that they're exactly the same. He didn't relate to the Shabbos bulb, the middle product that we saw, but he said in terms of the Shabbos, the kosher lamp, he thought the kosher lamp was 100% permissible, just like, and he quoted the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, it's clearly its own kli that happens to be on top of it. And he didn't think that this last product, which he gives the Hechsher for, is really any better. And then he even added in the conversation that he even feels, Meikar Adin, that we can rely on Rav Moshe or Shlomo Zalman, what they hold the Ikar Adin is, which is that flashlights and lamps and radiators and platas, that all of these things are not muksa machmas gufo. They're not the highest form of muksa. But we can be makel that they're considered klisha malachta le'isser. And that would mean that they could be moved, letzorach gufo, letzorach mekomo. So he feels that this whole discussion, you have to realize we're talking chumra al gabre chumra here. This whole discussion is assuming that a lamp is a problem like a candle is. That's step one. If a lamp is not like a candle, which Rav Moshe writes theoretically thinks is true and Rav Shlomo Zalman writes, so then you can move the Shabbos. All these Shabbos lamps are great and there's certainly no problem with them. And you can even, you know, if you put a lamp in your room on an extension cord, you can have the lamp in your room. Then when you want to go to sleep, you just carry the lamp outside because you have an extension cord so it won't pull out of the wall. And you put it outside the door and you close the door. You could that's a cheaper version of the Shabbos lamp. You could just buy an extension cord. That's if you're willing to be makel on the question of moving a lamp. If you're not willing to be makel about moving a lamp, so then you can use the Shabbos lamp. You just shouldn't move the lamp itself, but you can turn the top in order to block the light. And if you buy the third option, which, you know, I don't know, but I'm sure it costs like, you know, five times the price of what a regular lamp costs. So, but if you want to buy that last option, so then you could be machmir if you really want to, not to move lamps. And in addition to that, you could be machmir that the kosher lamp is not considered its own kli, and therefore you have this drawer, which is clearly its own kli. So you see that this last object is very nice, and it's nice when we're analyzing it, but it is chumra gabi chumra gabi chumra. And that's why Rav Heinemann said that he thinks that there's no difference between the first and the third option. He didn't address the second one. And anyway, he thinks that we're all being a little bit over machmir in terms of the treating a lamp like a candle. So there's
why did they put candies inside it? That's, you don't need to. If it's the same thing,
you're right. You won't need to. It's the company that's selling it is trying to get a market, right? So they're going to tell you, if you're going to spend $30 on a kosher lamp, you might as well spend whatever, 22 pounds. If you're going to spend 22 English pounds on a kosher lamp, so you might as well cover the one that is Mekayim another Shita, right? That would be the marketing side of things, that it fulfills more Shitas. So if you're already being Machmir for a Shabbos lamp, you might as well get the one that fulfills more Shitas. But as we see, there certainly is room to be Mekel. Okay, an interesting side issue, which emerges just from the whole electric lamp discussion, is, I'm sure many of us are familiar, the Mishnah tells us in Shabbos on Daf Yud Beis, and it's Paskind in Shulchan Aruch, in Reish Ayin Hey, that you're not supposed to read next to a candle on Shabbos, because we're concerned that you're going to tilt the candle in order to get the oil flowing a little better, and then you'll be over on the Malacha of Mavir, right? I imagine most of us are familiar with that Halacha. You're not supposed to read by a candle on Shabbos. So it's an interesting question in the Poskim. Does that apply also to an electric light? You know, we spoke about applying the dinam of a candle to an electric light regarding muksa. So just as an interesting digression for a second, what about reading by an electric light on Shabbos? Now, to read by the lights in your ceiling, that's no problem. You're not going to, you know, start taking out a ladder and climbing up to the ceiling and start like ripping the fixture out of the wall to bring it closer to you or to do something. But what about if you're reading by a lamp? Is there such a concern? So the general psak is that it's not a problem. This is the Shmir Shabbos in 46, source 46 on your source sheet. The Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Paskins and Rivadji Paskins that way as well. It's source 47 on your sheet. That Chazal only asserted a flame that's lit with oil, which is common to tilt when the oil starts to, you start to lose the oil and you need to strengthen the flame. But it doesn't even apply with candles. And then certainly Kal v'chomer, not with electric lamps. But it doesn't even apply with wax candles, with a hard candle, not a non-oil candle, meaning a wax candle. the both these poskim, both the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa for Ashkenazim and the Yechavidas, the of Ovadia and his Tshuvas for Sfardim, both writes that this is even okay with a lamp that dims, right? You have certain lamps that you can adjust something and dim the light. So maybe we can make the argument that if I'm reading and I want to strengthen the lamp, I would raise the dimmer. I would raise it so that it increases the light flow. And this should be comparable to the oil candle. So he writes that Chazal were only worried about tilting candles with oil candles, or that, but we don't find that they're concerned that you would add more oil. And they both think that raising
again, the... Why is it only by Shemen Zayis?
Not Shemen Zayis, only by Shemen.
By Shemen?
They say it's only by Shemen because the concern was that you're going to tilt the candle. It was common for, if the oil wasn't flowing well into the candle, that a person would tilt the candle a little bit in order to get the oil flowing better. But we don't find in Chazal, even though there were candles, we don't find in Chazal that they made such a gezeira when it comes to candles. So Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa says that they didn't say it by a candle. It's funny, we always think of this halacha by a candle, because that's, you know, our image of a candle is always like a wax candle. But what they were really referring to were oil candles, oil lamps. And therefore he says, if you take a look at the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, so he says that even by a, to increase, he says, to even when it comes to a, hold on one second. It's okay. Even when it comes to a, to increasing the otzma, the power of the light, so it wouldn't be a problem. That's what they write in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa. And Rav Avadya does have a little chumrah here. He writes that it might be good if you literally really have a dimmer lamp next to you where you read, to put a little sticker or something that says Shabbos to remind you. But they both write that Nekar Adin, it's not a problem. The Chazon Ish, though, was machmir. The Chazon Ish felt that reading by an electric lamp is a problem, and even if it's not adjustable. And he thought that there was a low plug when Chazal made a decree against reading by an oil candle, so that gezeira included any source of illumination. Therefore, the Chazon Ish was machmir for electric lights, not to read by electric lights. But I think most poskim do not accept that chumrah of the Chazon Ish. Most poskim go with what we see in Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa, the Yechav Adas, and that would allow you to read by a lamp on Shabbos. Okay, one last point here, and this I find this very interesting as well. What about, and this is not directly related to the candle discussion, but it is related to lights. And that's the question of a light switch. And I know I brought this up earlier, but I think we'll be in a better position now to address the question. Good to see you, Jonathan. So this is a very interesting question with a light switch. So can you, I think I mentioned this in the past, let's say the power is off, the power is set on a Shabbos clock. So are you able to, when the power is off, flip the light switch on or off? Which is then going to obviously impact when the power goes back on, if the lights go on or off. So this was asked Rav Shlomo Zalman. And Rav Shlomo Zalman, and it's just, I'm bringing this up now just because it's going to relate to a bunch of different things that we spoke about. So Rav Shlomo Zalman was asked this question, and he dissects the question like this. First, he says, if we hold, remember, if you remember when we discussed what's a kli shemalachto le'isser, we said that most poskinim assume that a kli shemalachto le'isser is something that has heter purposes and isser purposes, but it's primarily used for isser. That's a kli shemalachto le'isser, like a hammer. It's primarily used for building, but it can also be used to open a nut. So it has heter purposes. What about something which is kulo le'isser? It only has isser purposes. Is that called the kli shemalachto le'isser? Or that we have to be more machmir and consider that like muksa machmas gufo. That's totally muksa. So that was a little bit of a debate. So Shlomo Zalman says a light switch seemingly has no heter purpose on Shabbos, on a regular Shabbos. What's the heter purpose of a light switch? You're not going to use a light switch to open a nut. You're not going to use a light switch to scratch your back. So what does a light switch have a purpose for? It's kulo le'isser. So he said, first of all, it might just be muksa straight up because it's muksa machmas gufo. It's totally muksa. Therefore, even if the power is off right now on Shabbos afternoon, I cannot flip the switch on and off. Okay, he says, but even if you're willing to be makel on that question, so then we have another thing we have to figure out, and that is, was the power in your house on when Shabbos began? Very interesting point he makes. If the power was on when Shabbos began at Bein HaShemashos, then that switch at Bein HaShemashos was totally muksa machmas iser. What do we mean muksa machmas iser? It was muksa because flipping it would do an iser. If you flip it on, it turns on the lights. If you flip it off, it turns off the lights. So when Shabbos began, if the power in your house was on, you're not allowed to touch the light switch. So once the light switch is muksa at the onset of Shabbos, even if the power goes off later, that switch is still muksa because it was muksa when Shabbos began. And therefore he says the only way you could flip the light switch is if the power was off when Shabbos began. So then the light switch wasn't muksa at that point. If the power then goes on after Shabbos begins, that's okay, because at that point its status, which is set when Shabbos begins, so it wasn't muksa because there was no power on. So then you'd be able to fiddle with the switch when the power is off on Shabbos. So it's a very interesting, like for instance, someone asked, can they unplug the plata on Shabbos once the power is off and put the plata away? They want to move the plata on Shabbos, right? The heating plate. Can they unplug it from the wall when the power is off? Like they have it set on a Shabbos clock. So the Shabbos clock is plugged into the wall. They want to pull it out of the Shabbos clock and then put the plata away. So if the plata was on when Shabbos began, so then that's it. The plug and the plata, everything was muksa when Shabbos began. You wouldn't be able to move it at a later point. Okay, we're gonna move on. We've spent a lot of time on Klish Malach Tlis, so we're gonna move on to some other topics. I see a few. So first of all, I see that Binyamin asked, what if you move the base while you're trying to adjust the Shabbos lamp? So that would be okay, because since your intent was to move the cover of the Shabbos lamp, so we said that you're allowed to move a Dover Heter. If your intent is to move a Dover Heter, if you end up moving a Dover Muksa, that's okay. Right? You're allowed to pick if you drop a spoon on the floor outside in the dirt, you're allowed to pick up the spoon, even though you're going to move the dirt a little bit. Oh, the dirt is muksa. But since your intent was to pick up the spoon, it's okay if you end up moving the muksa a little bit. So too here. Why not put candles into the base of the kosher, candies into the base of the kosher lamp? So this goes back to the question of, can you put a roll on top of the candelabrum, when it's clear that you're just, see, with the drawer, even though we all know you're putting the candies in the drawer because you want to move the lamp, but at the end of the day, it's a drawer and it's designed to hold things as well. That's why they designed it as a drawer, so that it can also hold things. But no one would argue that the base of the kosher lamp is also designed for holding candies. No, so therefore that would be the distinction. Okay, I see the prices were put up over here. So the Shab lead, very good, Yaakov, is $49.99 for that little drawer. Get yourself an extension cord for $10. Okay. Can you make a revival just Tanai he brought regarding Shabbos candles? Seemingly, that would be a good argument as well. Yes, for the Svardim in the room, you should be able to make a Tanai. Good. And could one use a Shinoi to flip the dead switch? Yes.
I mean, regarding the light switch.
Oh, regarding the light switch, not
once
not regarding
the power goes off, I'm able to use it.
So you're saying if you make the Tanai that you only wanted it to be muksa, so seemingly it shouldn't be, the candle should be worse because they're even a more serious form of muksa. So seemingly that should be okay. We have to check. I'm going to check if the Tanai din was only said by candles because it's so common that everyone lights candles every Erev Shabbos and then they go out. So maybe their dafka tonight works because it's so, it's just so common and understood that the candles are only designed to be lit for a certain amount of time. But that wouldn't necessarily be true with lights. Okay, so I'll have to take a look at that. And the last question here about, can you use a Shinoi to flip the dead switch? Yes, in general, with almost all type, when the power's off, right? That's what you mean by the dead switch. So yes, you would be able to use a shinoi, because almost with all muksa, we're gonna talk about it, but almost with all muksa, shinoi is allowed. Okay, let's move on to Shulchan Aruch Sif Dalet, because that was really just tying up a lot of loose ends from last week, even though I know we're already almost done with the shiur time. But let's take a look at Sif Dalet in the Shulchan Aruch. Kli shemalachto leheter. You know, we've been so pessimistic up until now. Everything we've been talking about is, this is this muksa, this is this muksa. So now we should have started with this. It would be much more optimistic. A kli shemalachto leheter, which is something that's primary use, is for a heter purpose. So a kli shemalachto leheter, like a spoon. Kli shemalachto leheter. Or a back scratcher. I don't know, I'm trying to think of what other kalim we use around our house. A toy that somebody plays with. So kli shemalachto leheter is mutter l'taltalo afilu eno el l'tzorech ha-kli shlo yishaver o lo yiganev. When it came to a kli shemalachto le'isser, you're only allowed to move it for itself or for its place, l'tzorech gufo u l'tzorech mekomo. But we said that from chama l'tzeo, to move it from the sun to the shade to protect it, is not allowed. That's why a kli shemalachto le'isser, a kli whose primary purpose is for an isser. But a kli whose primary purpose is leheter, you're allowed to move it even just to protect it. This is a halach a lot of people don't know. Aval shelo l'tzorech klal, aser l'taltalo. A kli, shemalachto leheter. So if, let's think of a good example of a kli shemalachto leheter, which will be our example. I don't know, I'm like looking around my room here, and a lot of the things in my room are going to be exceptions, so I don't want to use those. I don't know, how about a hanger? Okay, a hanger. Kli shemalachto leheter. You use it to hang up your clothing. So you know, you come home from shul and you want to hang up your jacket, and so you don't, it doesn't get, so that's a kli shemalachto leheter. So a kli shemalachto leheter, you're allowed to move it for any purpose, for itself, for its place, if you don't want it here, if you want to protect it. But says the Shulchan Aruch, shelo l'tzorech klal, for no purpose whatsoever, then it's usher. It's usher to move a hanger for no purpose. Now, here is a very fascinating philosophic discussion. Says the Aruch HaShulchan, source 48, says the Aruch HaShulchan, well, why are you moving it? What do you mean you're moving it for no purpose? Well, then who does something for no purpose? And if you tell me, oh, you're just fidgeting with it, well, fidgeting with it is because you have ADD and it's therapeutic for you to flip the thing. So you sit there on the table and you're going like this, with the hanger, it keeps your fingers occupied. You're doing it for a purpose. You're not just doing it for no purpose. Does anyone do anything for no purpose? So he ends up saying that if you're literally just being mitasek, like you're literally just going like this, and it's not for any psychological purpose, so then maybe that's called shlo l'tzorech. But he struggles with trying to figure out. He calls it mitasek ba'alma. It means like you're moving it almost like without even realizing. But again, he brings up the possibility that it's sort of hard to define. What does it mean, something which is not for any tzorech at all? Shulchan Aruch continues and says, but kisvei hakodesh, so svarim, the Mishnah Berurah extends it to svarim as well. Svarim, the ochlin, and food, mutter l'taltalam afilu shelo l'tzorech klal. You're allowed to move them even for no purpose, if it's food or if it's a kli. So again, the comment of the Aruch HaShulchan on the side, Shulchan Aruch clearly identifies that there are certain things that are called l'tzorech and certain things that are called shelo l'tzorech klal. So
how do you define the food? It's a kli shemalachto leheter. What is it?
So food is probably even better than a kli shemalachto leheter, because it's not really a kli. It's not a kli. And that's why he says that when it comes to something like food or svarim, even, he writes.
Svarim kli?
So also, I'm not so sure we would consider it a kli. You know, certainly not in like the Tumah V'Tahara sense of a kli. But he says that these are, I don't know, maybe that's what you're bringing up. Like, are these really exceptions? They're not even kalim. But he says that a kli shemalachto leheter, those are the rules we see here in the Shulchan Aruch. Kli shemalachto leheter, you can move for any purpose, as long as there's some purpose. But kisvei kodesh and food, those are not muksa, and they can be moved even for no purpose at all. So again, the Aruch HaShulchan's philosophical question, well, then what are you moving them for? But if you need to fidget with something, So probably better to fidget with an apple on the table than with, you know, with the hanger, because ochlin are allowed to be moved shelo litzorech at all. There's a discussion. If you take a look in the Dirshu Mishneh Berurah, so he brings up a bunch of other things, chairs or clothing. He says clothing and chairs. He tries to figure out which category should those go in. Are those kelim shemalachta leheter? Are those kelim shemalachta leheter and therefore cannot be moved if it's shelo litzorech klal? Or do those somehow fall into this category of ochlin and kisvei kodesh? Which, what's the whole svara of ochlin and kisvei kodesh? The svara is that these are things that are just so part of your day of Shabbos that they're not muksa at all. Again, muksa has to come from some level that it's something that I set aside. So a klishim alach to leheter, I don't set it aside because I plan on using it. But I don't plan on using it for no reason. So for no reason, it's considered set aside. But when it comes to ochlin, when it comes to svarim, and therefore maybe when it comes to, like for instance, the Mishneh Berurah, if you take a look in the Mishneh Berurah Chaf Gimel, he includes in the category of food cups. That's why I fell off of the example of a spoon. Spoons, plates, cups, those are all things. He says those are considered like food. Those are considered like svarim. Why? Because something which are so basic to the day of Shabbos, so you're not maksamidas at all. And therefore, those you can move even if it's for no purpose at all. So what we're basically, the classifications that we're that we've spoken about so far, we've got things that are totally muksa, muksa machmas gufo, totally muksa. Those can't be moved at all. Then we've got kalim. Kalim, by definition, are useful things. That's what a kli is. It's a useful thing. If it's a kli shemalachto le'isser, its primary use is for isser, then it can only be used if you need it or if you need its place. Kalim shemalachton leheter, like a hanger, something which has a permissible use on Shabbos, that can be moved for any purpose, as long as you have a purpose. But you can't move it for no purpose. And and something like food or svarim or plates, things that are so central to the Shabbos day experience, so those are things that we can move even for no purpose whatsoever. Okay, I want to just end with one last interesting discussion, and that are objects of mitzvah. Most famous one is tefillin. The Ramah here in Dalet says, tefillin ein letaltalam ki im letzorech. Tefillin can only be moved if you have a tzorech. What does it sound like? How's the Ramah classifying tefillin? What are they? They can be moved as long as there's a tzorech. What's the Ramah? What's he saying about tefillin? What are they considered?
Shemalachta leheta.
Excellent. Klish malachta leheta. He says it's a klish malachta leheta, and therefore it can be moved as long as there's any purpose. Meaning it doesn't have to be tzorech gufo or tzorech mekomo. Any purpose, you're allowed to use it for. However, if you look in the Mishneh Berurah Chaf Dalet, so he says, hainu, that's kadesh lo yignavu, oshli is kalkul, it means you can move them even to protect them. They shouldn't get stolen. They shouldn't get ruined. The hataz v'amogin avram machmirim. But the taz and the magen avram are machmir, and they hold that tefillin is called a kli shemalachto le'isser. Why? Because it's usher to wear them on Shabbos. It's usher to wear them on Shabbos, and therefore they're kli shemalachto le'isser. And we have to realize when we say they're usher to wear on Shabbos, it's not so much that it's usher. It's not a malacha. It's that many of us might know Shabbos is already an os, and therefore it's disrespectful for Shabbos. However we want to word it, it's like not an inyan to wear tefillin on Shabbos because there's a contradiction of osos. So is that called usher? So that's a little bit of this discussion here. But lemaisa, the Ramah paskins that it's a kli shemalachta leheter, and the Mishneh Berurah brings that the Taz and the Magen Avram considered a kli shemalachta leisser, and therefore you can only move it with tzorech gufo or with tzorech makomo. And the Mishneh Berurah at the end of the piece, Chaf Dalet, so he writes, he thinks you should be machmir to consider the klishim malachta le'isser. But if it's a shas hadchak, like it's outside and you don't want to leave them outside or you really need to move them, so he says you could be mako and to consider them a klishim malachta le'heter. So a very practical question. Let's say you left your tefillin in your talis bag and now it's Shabbos. So if we're going to be machmir for the Mishnah Berurah, the ideal thing to do is to take your talis out of the bag. Not to take the tefillin out, take the talis out. Now, inevitably, you're going to move the tefillin when you do that. But as we pointed out from Binyamin's question earlier, that's okay. Because it's l'tzorech dabar mutter. It's in order to get the talis. So you end up moving the tefillin, but that's okay. That would be the ideal thing to do. But if you're stuck, like let's say it's raining outside and you have to go to shul, and therefore you need your talis bag, or whatever reason you need your talis bag. So you really need to take the tefillin out. So then seemingly there would be room to be mekil. So again, I don't know if that's called b'makom d'chak, but if for whatever reason a person would need, and this is what the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa Paskin, he writes that ideally you should take out the talis and leave the tefillin there. But he writes that if that's not possible, or like you can't get the talis out, it's like too crowded in there. You just can't get the talis out. You know, the tefillin is on top of it. That, or he writes that if you really need the talis bag, so then he says you can move out the tefillin. The Mishnah Berurah also adds that if the tefillin are going to get ruined, which is a desecration to, you know, a davar shebekdusha, you have tefillin with klaf in them, if they're going to get ruined, so then for sure we'll be mekel, and we will allow you to move the tefillin, even though it's to protect it, but if it's literally protecting it from getting ruined, so then there's a question here of desecration of the Dvar Mishpikdusha, and therefore we are advised to be makel in that situation. Sorry, I just want to finish the Ramah. The Ramah adds last line in Dawud. The Ramah says, Shofar Asur Litaltalo Kiyam Litzorech Gufo Mekomo. A shofar is only able to be moved with Tzorech Gufo Mekomo. What does that mean? That means that he's looking at a shofar as a Lisha Malachto L'Isser. Why? Because you're not allowed to blow a shofar on Shabbos. So since you're not allowed to blow a shofar on Shabbos, it's a Klisha Malachto L'Isser, and therefore we can only move it with Tzorech Gufo Mekomo. Nowadays, the Poskim Paskin, though, that a shofar is really Muksa Machmas Chesrim Kis. Back then, they used to use the shofar for all different types of things. They would use it to blow, but they would also use it, I don't know, to drink out of. They would use it to pour things. They used shofars for other purposes back then. You know, a ram's horn was used for other things, and it was also used for to blow a horn. But nowadays, we don't use it for any other purpose. They're expensive. We put them away. We only use them for their designated purposes. And therefore, many poskim consider it to be a kli shemalachto le, a kli, which is muksa machmas chesron kis. Okay. Yeshar koach, everyone. Everyone have a great great week. I'll send out the notes. I'm also going to send to you the link for that video in case you want to look at that video again. And I will also, someone made a chart, they sent me a chart of the different types of categories of muksa. I know we've been throwing around lots of terms, so I'll send that out. Maybe that'll help people as well.
Shkayach. All right, what do you say about Shemos?